that you were not really
I didn't really know about this.
Larry Joe was very instrumental in on the very front end of Holy Hills Baptist Church. I guess it was 68 or 69, whenever that was. And this is from our church, presented to Larry Joe Maupin, August the 24th, 2014, the recognition of 16 years of service, District D, Dyer County Commissioner. Give him a grateful appreciation for your outstanding dedication to the people in our community and the ideals of our country. And Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And he wanted to present this to you.
Thank you
so
much. From
our church.
Thank you.
That's good. We have some cake and refreshments here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, while I have you all here, I'd like to say just a few things. I just want to say just a, you know, hour and a half, something like that. Justin, if you don't mind, and Ben, I've got about 200 of these made. I want to give you something to stick in your Bible and take home with you. And if you'll take these and stick them in your Bible, I think I have enough. If not, maybe husband and wife can get one, share it. While they're passing these out, take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 4 and Isaiah 61. Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah 61. Just a few minutes. All joking aside, I just want to share this with you before we leave. Luke chapter 4, and I think we've got Bibles under the seats there. If you're looking for one, maybe there's some under there that has a little larger print. If you need that, if you want to look on with somebody. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, then we're going to go to Isaiah 61. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the what? The gospel. You ever wondered what the gospel is, the true gospel? Isaiah 61 will tell you what the gospel is. In Isaiah 61, it tells us, if you want to compare, this is what the Bible does. You don't need a dictionary. The Bible would define the words for you. I'll show you how it's done. Isaiah 61 in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. Is anybody there? Good tidings. So what is the gospel? The gospel is good tidings. Good news. What is the good news? Well, 1 Corinthians 15. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll show you what the good news is. Verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that, number 1, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Verse 4 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the what? The Scripture. The Bible says the gospel, the good news for the whole world is that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. That is the gospel. That's the good news for all mankind. It's for everybody, whosoever will, let him come. Now, the handout that you're getting, I see those gentlemen have just about made their way back all the way around. Let me do this. Now, some of you are going to say, and some of you that's been here a long time, we've got a lot of new members. We have a lot of older ones, and they've heard this before. They could do it themselves. They could do it better than I. But I want you to take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. Now, if you were to write in your Bible, you would write, I like to write in mine. I got a wide margin here. I like to write in mine in pencil. That way it don't bleed through to the other side. But now you do what you want to do. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Do you see that? That means there's nobody in the whole wide world that is good enough to get themselves to heaven. There's nobody in the whole wide world that is righteous enough. That's including anybody that you know. The best person you know, the person that is the most moral person that you know, is not good enough, is not righteous enough to get themselves to heaven. There's no way. If they could get themselves to heaven, and if they were good enough to get themselves to heaven, then Jesus did not have to come and die on the cross. He wasted his time by coming and being born through a virgin and to die upon the cross, waiting 33 and a half years and die a cruel death and be buried and rose again. He wasted all of his time if somebody was good enough to get themselves to heaven. Out beside Romans 3:10, I have Romans 3:23. And verse 23 says, and you got to look at this, you got to see it. For all have what? And come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that Jesus Christ, let's say, Jesus Christ is, just for practical purposes, Jesus Christ is 10 foot tall. And there are some folks in here that maybe be 2 foot tall. And some are a little better than others. You don't sin as much as somebody else, and you might be 3 foot tall. And somebody might be just, mean as a snake, and they're not but 1 foot tall. Well, guess what? It doesn't make any difference if you're 1 foot tall, 2 foot tall, 3 foot tall, 5 foot tall. Everybody come short of the glory of God. Everybody in the whole world. So that means it doesn't make any difference if you're better than the person you're sitting next to or the person sitting across the aisle from you. You may be better than them. You may be worse than them. But ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I love to give this illustration. We're going to catch a plane here in Memphis here tonight. We're going to be there by 10 o'clock tonight. And this side of the room, you get there at 10:05. You people on this side of the room get there at 10:35. Well, guess what? Those people over there did better than y'all. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself for getting there so late. Y'all did better than them, and y'all are worse than them. Guess what? Everybody missed the plane. It don't make any difference if you get there at 10:05 or 10:35. According to the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I have out beside of Romans 3:23, I have Romans 5:12. You just turn the page. This is what you call the Romans road. Romans 5 and verse 12. How did we get in such a mess? How did this world get in the shape that it's in? The Bible will tell you. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Anybody want to take a guess who that was? Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon how many? All men. For that all have sinned. There was a day in the Garden of Eden where everything was a perfect environment. Everything was perfect. I mean, Eve had supper on the table at 5, breakfast at 8, and lunch at noon. Adam had the perfect wife. Eve had the perfect husband. It was a perfect environment. And then all of a sudden, they ate of the fruit. Whatever that was, have no idea. But they ate of that fruit and disobeyed God, and sin was brought into the world. Now, I got news for you. We get to heaven. There's a lot of people wanting to see Abraham. There's a lot of people wanting to see David. There's a lot of people wanting to see all kind of people, Paul and Peter. But I'm going to tell you, the longest line in heaven waiting to talk to somebody will be Eve. I would be surprised if she don't get body slammed up there somewhere. What were you thinking, eating us out of house and home? The man took the responsibility, and the responsibility was laid at his feet. Wherefore, it's by one man sin into the world. Death by sin. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Well, out beside Romans 5:12, I have 6:23. All you got to do is turn the page. 6:23 says this, for the wages, that's pay, that's wages. You get a wages every Friday. For the wages, the payment of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life through the church. Okay, the gift of God is through some man on this earth. No, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the only way to heaven. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin. If you would like to continue in your sin, if you would like to stay in that predicament, you'll have to pay for your own sins. But you don't have to. Somebody has already paid your sin debt. Somebody has already went to the cross and paid for your sin debt. And he paid it with his own precious blood. That's what he did for you. So you wouldn't have to pay for your sin. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, if all the sins of the whole world was paid for right here, then why do I have to get saved? I'm glad you asked that. Because I could go down to the grocery store, Country Mart or Kroger, and I'm going to buy, how many people's in here, a couple of cases of Baby Ruth's and a couple of cases of bottled Cokes in the glass bottle. Somebody help me now. There is a difference. Don't let anybody tell you there's a difference in a glass bottle and a plastic bottle. There is a difference. The glass bottle, you pop the top and smoke, a mushroom, a smoke cloud comes out of the top of it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? You drink a glass bottle, you drink it up, and you burp, and it'll burn your nasal, it'll burn your cavity. That's when you know it's for real. I go down there to Kroger, buy a case, two cases of Baby Ruth's, two cases of Cokes in the bottle, and I say this, clerk, anybody, I've already paid for these. Anybody, you just put a sign right here. Whosoever will take a Baby Ruth and a Coke can have one and take it home for free. It's already paid for. There they are. Guess what? Y'all can all have one. It's a free gift to y'all. Guess what? As long if y'all don't go by there and pick it up, they're already paid for. They're already paid for. But you don't get to get it and take it home unless you go by there and pick it up and get it. Jesus Christ has paid for the sins of the whole world. You don't get the benefit of it until you say, I want that free gift. I want that for me. My personal Savior, I want Him to be my Savior. Then, after 6:23, this is what I got. Romans 5:8. Turn the page back to the left. 5:8. This is a good verse. Amen. But God commendeth. You say, what does that word mean? Demonstrated. But God commendeth his love toward us. Okay, how did he demonstrate? How did he commend his love toward us? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Isn't that a good verse? Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Then I've got Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. I want you to look at this. Romans 10, verse number 9. You say, preacher, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I can't save myself. I realize that sin's going to bring forth death. I realize that. What do I need to do about it? I know my sinful condition. I want to go to heaven when I die. What do I need to do? Join the church? What do I need to do? Get baptized? What do I need to do? Turn over a new leaf? What do I need to do? I'm fixing to tell you what you need to do. Romans 10 in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine what? That God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be what?
Saved.
No mention of joining the church. No mention of getting baptized. No mention of turning over a new leaf. No mention of getting vacation Bible school pens. No mention of all of that. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now stop right here and let me say this. Some of you say, oh, that means you got to confess with your mouth. That's what it said. You got to confess with your mouth. Now think about this. Is that talking about this mouth or the mouth of the heart?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Can I pray to God right now and y'all not hear anything come out of this mouth?
Amen.
Well, how am I talking to him then? The mouth of the heart. You say, it does not mean this mouth, because if it meant this mouth, then a person that cannot talk can't be saved. But a person that can't talk can be saved, because no matter if they cannot speak here, they can talk from here. That if thou confess with thy... Now watch how it does. If thou should confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart... Same. And then verse 10, it does the same thing. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteous, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That means, hey, you know what? They'll never be able to take prayer out of school. You can't take prayer out of school. Now, you can say, oh, we're not going to pray in school. You can't stop me from talking to God. You'll never know I'm talking to him, but I can tell you this, I can talk to God, and you'll never know it. Ain't important for you to know it. I can talk to him and you not ever hear me, or you not ever know it, but he'll hear me.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the closest I've ever been to God was right before finals. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? You know what I did as a 10-year-old boy? This is what I did as a 10-year-old boy. I realized I was a sinner. My dad's a preacher. He's sitting back here. My mom's here. My dad's here. Raised me in church, just like you boys testified. Raised me in church and there. Well, no question, we're going to church. You didn't ask, are we going to church today? We was there. You know what they say about preacher's kids? It's all true. We run around with the deacon's kids, that's the problem. We was mean. Anyway, and I realized as a 10-year-old boy that I could not save myself. My daddy couldn't save me. My mama couldn't save me. Grandma couldn't save me. It had to be a personal thing between me and God. And I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and say, I said, Lord, I can't save myself. And look, nobody asked me to repeat a prayer, nothing like that. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. You're the only one that can save me. And Lord, I wish you'd come in my heart and save me so I can go to heaven. You know what? Jesus Christ came, moved in right here. Been there ever since. You say, how do you know that? Well, he's just been there. Let me show you this. This is one that's not in Romans, but take over here and go to John. I'm only going to a couple more places, and then we're going to go have some cake. Look at John chapter 10. Let me read you this one. John chapter 10, about verse number 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my what? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's pretty good.
Amen.
Once you get in, can't get out.
Right.
Now, that's the way I'm looking at it. Now, you say, oh, that's just the way you're reading it. Well, English, I'm pretty good at. Well, I don't speak it, but I speak Tennessee. And I forbid to push one for English. I'll hang up. I ain't pushing one for English. This is America. You ought not have to punch one for English. Hallelujah. That's just side. That's extra. Now go to Ephesians. Over to your right. Two more verses. Ephesians. Let me show you this. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse number 13. Ephesians 1. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm telling you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. This is the best news you've ever... The best news that ever come to this world came from a graveyard. And when them women came in John chapter number 20, and they said, we looked in, the stone was already rolled away, we stuck our heads in, there wasn't nobody laying there, and all of a sudden we turned around, two men in white apparel said, why seek you the living among the dead? Jesus of Nazareth, who had been dead, he's not here, he's risen, just like he said. You go to Buddha's grave, they get him out once a year and parade him up and down the street. What kind of God is that? If he can't get himself out of the grave, how do you expect him to get you out of the grave one day?
Right.
Now, you say, you're not talking about other people's religion. I'm not talking about other people's religion. I'm telling you what makes common sense.
Right.
If your God is still in the ground somewhere and you can go to the tomb and say, hey, how you doing? Then you better find you another God.
Right.
But there's one that came up on Easter Sunday morning. And he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Go over there to Jerusalem. Stick your head in. There's a sign there that says, he's not here. He's risen just like he said.
Amen.
If you want to trust in somebody, you better trust in somebody that's already got themselves up out of the grave, because our loved ones that are out of their grave. And one of these days, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to the graveyard. And one of these days, the Lord's coming back and he's going to gather all the children home, those that are saved. And you can't get, he can't get himself out of the grave. He sure ain't going to get his children out.
Right.
Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. All right, somebody, somewhere along the way, preached the word of truth to you. You trusted what you heard, the word of truth. The gospel, the good news of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed. Okay, after I believed, after I was saved, after I was born again, after I trusted Christ, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, that's good. You say, what are you? I'm saved, sealed, secure.
Amen.
There's you a good 3-point outline. I'm saved, I'm sealed, secure. Let me read you one more verse before we go. Chapter 4, Ephesians 4. Right there, same book, 4. Same, about says same thing. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Unto the what? The day of redemption. That's pretty good. You say, how long you seal? Well, Ephesians 4 tells you. Now, it all depends on if you believe that. Now, if you believe that, I just told you the truth. Because it come right from there. You say, well, we like the Discovery Channel. Well, fool you on the Discovery Channel, get you a good Bible, and it'll tell you a whole lot more than Discovery Channel will.
Amen.
Discovery Channel leaves a whole lot of stuff out. Bible don't leave nothing out. You say, how do I know I'm secure? How many of y'all remember Grandma? Grandma canned them peaches, and she'd can them pear preserves. Somebody say amen right there on pear preserves. Boy, she'd put that in there, and canned green beans. She canned green beans. I don't know why anybody would want canned green beans and save them to later. Anyway, can some peaches, I understand. Pear preserves, strawberry jam, I'm for that. And she would can them things, and she'd put that in there. She'd fill that thing up, that glass. How many, mason fruit jar?
That's it.
Man, that make the best sweet tea glasses you could ever have. She put that pear preserves, whatever, green beans, peaches, what do you put in there? And she would put, there's a little cap that you put down on that thing, and then you put that. I don't know what it's called, but I know what it is. The what? Rings and flats. Y'all learning something tonight. She pulls that down tight, pulls her down tight, puts it on the shelf. You know how long that's preserved? Till somebody pops the top on it. It ain't going nowhere. So somebody pops the top on it. Thank you, Rick. One of these days, you'll get a church and you'll get to preach how you want to. Rick's my friend. She'd come in there and we'd get ready for some pear preserves or strawberry jam, whatever, and she'd go get one off the shelf if we were out, and she'd unscrew that thing, and you'd have to get sometimes you could use your thumb, or sometimes you had to get a knife or something to pop that, what is it, flat? And it makes a sound. Hear somebody make that sound? Yeah. And then you can get what's in there out. Well, one of these days, you look at me and say, I'm saved, I'm sealed. When I got saved, the Lord put me in a mason fruit jar, put the flat on it and put the tin on it. What did you call it? Tin, the flats? Ring. And tighten her down. And I'm there. And the ride's been rough. But when the day's over, I'm still in there. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, sometimes it's a rocky ride. But guess what? I'm still in there. One of these days, the Lord's going to sound the trumpet. And it's going to go. Yeah. Sealed to the day of redemption. Say, preacher, what do you call that? You call that being saved. I ain't got anything to do with the church. I ain't got anything to do with the nomination. I ain't got anything to do with the pond or you can park yourself in a garage and they ain't going to make you no truck. And you can park yourself in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, twice on Sunday, twice on Tuesday, and twice on Saturday, and go anytime else you want to. Go to Vacation Bible School and park yourself. Move into the church if you'd like to, and it ain't going to make you no more of a Christian than if you was if you stayed home every Sunday. The only thing that makes a person saved, ready for heaven, is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's the only thing. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. I hope everybody in the room has had a time and a place where they have accepted you as a personal Savior. Lord, not a time when they joined a church, not a time when they did all of that. Lord, all that comes later. But Lord, the most important thing is that they trusted you as their personal Savior. I pray everybody in this room has done that one time or another in their life. And I pray, Lord, if they hadn't, they'll do that before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for our time just a little bit ago of reviewing some of the life and history of Brother Larry Joe Maupin and his family. What a blessing they are to us. And I thank you for allowing us to be able to do and give honor to whom honor is due like that. But Lord, when it's all said and done at the end of the day, the most important thing in life is that we know you as our personal Savior. And I thank you that we've done that, or I have. And I hope everybody in here has. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Won't you stand to your feet? Mark Plain, if you want to come to the altar and pray about something, the altar's open. If nobody comes, we'll dismiss, have a time of fellowship. Maybe you'll come pray. Thank you. Some are down here praying. Just a few minutes. You never know. You never know when a simple something like that, simple. Gospel is simple. Very true, it's simple. That's why the Bible says you have to come with a childlike faith. Very simple. Even a child can understand it. What the Lord's done for you. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.